Let's show some love to the music ministry. Yo. They have done a phenomenal job, and you know, I'm grateful to be able to be there, in the fight with them, and they just do a great job. I can trust that when I'm preaching, I still don't have to worry about them doing a phenomenal job, and so give it up for them. But today, we're going to continue our summer blockbuster series. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've gone over movies such as The Incredibles, War Room, The Notebook. The Jacksons did a phenomenal job on The Notebook last week. Love and Basketball. And so today, we're going to go into movie number 6. Drum roll, please. Hitch. Number 6. Hitch. So if you haven't seen it before, it's a movie that came out in 2005 starring Will Smith, as you can see with the oversized shirt and the oversized jacket. But let's play that trailer.
That's where I come in.
Excuse me. By asking if it was diet, she took it as you trying to imply that you thought she was fat. Go get a red rose, get a regular Coke, tell her she's everything you never knew you always wanted. Any problems, give me a call.
From Columbia Pictures.
Did you ever hear this guy they call the date doctor?
Urban myth.
Really?
Absolutely.
I was told you were the guy that helps guys like me.
Nobody's perfect.
That's pathetic.
Pathetic? But one man.
My name is Alex Hitchens. Call me Hitch.
Can help you come close.
Let me give you my number. Do you have a pen?
Yes, I do.
Great.
He can show you the moves.
Elbows, 6 inches from the waist, 90 degree angles. This is home. You see somebody you know, I don't want none of this. Don't bite your lip. Stop biting your lip. None of this.
Okay, see, now that's what I need to be learning.
Up in the club with my homies, trying to get a little VI, keep it down on the low key.
Don't ever do that again.
He can teach you the rules.
It's really necessary.
Have you seen your back?
The guy with all the answers.
Whenever I'm around, I just can't get my stuff right. Oh. I saw that going differently in my mind.
We'll have some questions of his own.
Is it me or is it just a little itchy in here?
Wow, are you okay?
Well, I know what's happening.
You think that I'm in a stressful state because I'm trying to make a good impression?
No, I think you have food allergies.
Oh.
Will Smith.
It is not that serious.
Hitch, the cure for the common man.
8 out of 10 women believe that the first kiss will tell them everything that they need to know. The secret is to go 90% of the way and hold.
Now show me the magic. Show me the magic.
What the hell was that?
I'm showing you the magic.
No, I said come 90, and then I come 10. You don't go the whole 100. You overzealous son of a...
So that's the movie Hitch. So if you haven't seen it, go ahead and check it out. But as you can probably tell, Hitch was a guy who had found his niche. He had figured out how to help guys connect with the women they were infatuated with. But he had his own blind spots. He himself wasn't as smooth in his own situations as he gave the other people advice for. But wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love to have somebody who could give you all the answers and your problems in life? Like, wouldn't you love somebody that could just tell you how to get that first date with that girl you've been trying to take out? How to connect with that guy that you just get real, you just get a little shy around? But we would love that with all the areas of our lives, right? Everything that we need, we would love to just have the answers. You see, Hitch is the movie about him being a date doctor. But there's areas in all of our lives, if we're striving to be like Jesus, that we need advice in, we need help with, we need some type of guidance, because realistically, we don't just come out knowing how to be like Jesus. We don't come out knowing what it is to submit to God. And so everyone needs help. Everyone needs help. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Get your notes ready, because for the next few minutes, we're going to have several scriptures, We're going to talk about a few things as we do a topical study on advice and guidance. My desire today is as we go through the scriptures, you'll grow deeper in your conviction that you need help. If you're trying to live a godly life, you need help. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And if you don't have your Bibles or it's not on your app, you can look up here on the slide. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority, both in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Everyone needs help. A few weeks ago, we had a congregational meeting, and we talked about the core values of the path and the things that we want everybody to have a conviction on. And one of those things is that we need godly one another relationships. Why is that? Well, point blank, it's because God commanded it. We see in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 that Jesus, after he had resurrected, he said, look, I got all the power and all the authority, which means I'm the general. And so I'm giving you the marching orders that you are to go out, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them to obey everything. The journey doesn't end when we proclaim Jesus as Lord. When we get up here in the waters of baptism or wherever you're baptized, your journey doesn't end. Really, that's where it begins. So it's not that you're taking the training wheels off and you just got it all together by the time you hit the water. Because promise you, you don't. None of us did. I think back to some of the conversations I had with people, some of the things I even said to other people about Jesus after I made Jesus Lord. I'm like, man, that didn't make any sense. But at least I was zealous, right? Now, the thing about Hitch was that in the movie, these men came to him because they were in desperate need. They needed all the help they could get. Like the dude, Albert, the bigger guy, he was just pathetic. And his dream girl was Allegra Cole. This girl was a supermodel celebrity. She was wealthy, and he was her accountant. And he just had a crush on her. But he called Hitch because he knew, man, Hitch, I know you could help me get the girl. When was the last time your heart was like Albert? Was it when you studied the Bible? Was it when you made a decision like, man, I need Jesus. But after that, he's like, you know what? I got it. I got a hang of it. Yeah. Albert realized like Allegra was out of his league. There was no possible way without some type of divine intervention and some help that he was going to get her. My man couldn't even dance. Like, did y'all see him? But Hitch helped him out. God is out of your league. God is out of your league. But guess what? He makes it possible for us to have a relationship with him. But we got to lean into the help. We got to get the help. But the thing about help is it's a two-way street. There's always a giver and a receiver. And so no matter where you are on the spectrum in your relationship with God, there's always something you should be doing. You should either be getting help or giving help. And they're not mutually exclusive. You need to be doing them at the same time. As you help people, you still need to be getting help. As followers of Jesus, we don't have a luxury of just saying, you know what, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that's cool. It was the Great Commission. It was a charge. It was the orders that Jesus gave the people who were following him. He had spent all of his time ministering to these guys. Why? Because they had a mission. He didn't just give them the great suggestion. He didn't say, hey, you know what, guys? Even though I have all the authority, I'm the one in leading all of this. How about it would be nice if you guys thought about considering getting close to making disciples, teaching people to obey, and trust that I'm with you always. It'd just be nice. He didn't do that. He said, I have all authority, so this is how it's going to go. As you study the Bible, you have to have the heart of someone willing to learn and keep that heart. When we study with people and we sit down and talk about the Bereans having more noble character, that's not just for the people we sit down with. That's for us too. We have to sit down and say, man, what did they talk about last week? Let me go back and look over that. There's a reason why we have the podcast and we have the live streams. We have all these opportunities to, for you to go back and say, man, what were they talking about? If you haven't had that heart in a while, think about it. Where did it go? What happened in your walk with God that said, you know what? I'm good. Training wheels off. I don't care. I'm going to just go through life and do everything I want to do the way I want to do it and say I love Jesus. Jesus makes it clear. There's still so much to learn. Jesus says, go and teach them everything. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. I don't know about you, but I can get stuck on the same one verse for at least 6 months. I really can. And so if that's the case, then why aren't we learning? If you're learning, where's your heart to continue to learn and then give other people that knowledge? In life, there's so many ways, so many areas we can submit to God. We got careers that we have to bring into submission to God. We got schedules that we have to bring into submission to God. We have our academic excellence that we have to bring into submission to God. But one of those areas that it seems like we can always do better in submitting to God in is romantic relationships. Romantic relationships. So we might be able to learn a little something from Hitch in this situation.
Yeah. That's what it's all about right there. See how it gets bigger? Now I'm gonna start the fire. But the feet are going. I start the fire, I make the pizza. Hips are always going. In the club with my homies, trying to get enough tip. From there, the Q-tip. I started shorting. Throw it away. That's not working. Hit it with this.
Don't ever do that again. Do you hear me?
Just expressing myself.
No. Mm-mm. Not like that, you're not. All right?
Don't ever do that again. Now, I ain't gonna judge you if that's your dance moves. I know some people that can help you. Everybody can't dance. Everybody doesn't have rhythm. But if you're doing all of that, you need to sit down somewhere. But maybe it's not the dance moves you need help with. I'm gonna talk to the single people for a minute. Tinder is not how you find a relationship. Now, let me break it down so everybody on the same page. Tinder is an application that you find on mobile devices that allows you to either swipe left or swipe right while choosing a potential mate. They've made dating easy as a swipe. So now everybody knows what Tinder is, right? Now, if you swipe left, I had to do some research. You swipe left, it's like, no. If you swipe right, then the other person, if they swipe right, then y'all can send messages to each other. Now, in this day and age, generally, if somebody says, I met him or her on Tinder, the thing that is assumed is that y'all are just trying to get it in. Y'all are trying to have sex. That's if you say, I met him or her on Tinder, then it's like, oh, y'all are just trying to hook up. That's not where we go. That's not a godly way of going about finding your potential mate. Why? You don't know nothing about this person other than the 52 selfies that they took to post three of them on Tinder so that you can say left or right. If you swipe right, does that not mean she's missed right? I'm just telling you. So just keep that in mind. That's not the way to go. You see, the world says that you can find relationships in random hookups. You can find love in all these various places. But the reality is, you can't. Because it doesn't have the depth that you need to have in order to have a long-standing romantic relationship. There are ways. But how do you find those ways? Help. Advice. Guidance. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, it might seem right that if you're in a relationship and you're committed, whatever that means, you're committed. You have the intentions of potentially thinking about getting close to popping the question and saying, will you marry me? If you committed, it's okay to have sex. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death. It leads to spiritual death, emotional death. It can lead to physical death. What city are we in? What city are we in? What city are we in? That was a real question. Y'all can respond back. It's not a trick question. We're in Atlanta. Atlanta is has one of the highest STD and HIV rates in the world. So when the Bible says it's in the end, it leads to death, I'm not just talking about metaphorical out there, just this emotional death. That's all of the above. It can lead to all of those things. But y'all don't hear me. It's cool. So I'm going to go to the married people. Married folks, when was the last time you opened up your life to somebody else? When was the last time you decided, you know what, I'm not just going to go with the flow and, you know, it's just me and my boo thing? How long is that going to last? Might last 5 minutes, if that. Because I know it's been 4 years and I ain't got it all together. And it's constantly needing the help, needing the input, asking, saying, hey, this is what's going on. How should I approach this? Because there's plenty of times, y'all, I tell y'all all the time, there's times I just say the worst stuff ever. It just comes out of my mouth, and I'm just like, oh, let me get that back. Nope, it's out there now. But the more I talk to the brothers, and like, hey, this is really what I want to say, and then they can be like, don't do it. Not a good idea. Don't say it this way. Maybe you should, dot, dot, dot. Y'all know how many fights got prevented by me just asking? Like, hey, what y'all think about me doing this? Nah, that's not a good idea. No. See, the thing about getting advice and getting help and letting people in is that it glorifies God. Because the more we as a body, we as a people make a decision to learn from others, then God gets to see what the picture of the church truly looks like. Like, we get to see what the church truly looks like, because there's nowhere else in the world where you get to have access to free counselors. You just don't. The stuff I got to listen to sometimes, it's like, man, I could be getting paid like $80 an hour for this. But it's free because it's a command from God. You see, it's like, think about the story of our brother and sister Nick and Dom. They started out, and Nick studied the Bible, got baptized, and they came in. They were in a relationship. Later on, Dom continued to study the Bible, and she too got baptized. But they had to figure out how to move from a worldly concept of doing dating and move into a godly concept of doing dating. And Lord knows they are two very different things. But they made a decision, I'm going to be radical about my repentance. I'm going to be radical about what we do so that we can bring things into submission to God. And so they had bought an apartment together. And they realized, you know what? This is not what God wants. He does not want us living together before we get married. So they were radical. Nick decided, all right, I'll move out. And today, because of their surrender to God in that area, they're going to be getting married this evening. All this stuff about advice and guidance is not for the baby Christian. It's not just for the single people. It's not just for the people that are struggling. It's for everybody. Because somebody can relate to what you're going through. Someone can relate. Walking with God is not a solo sport. If you ever tried to walk with God on your own by yourself, you will see, and I talk about it all the time, if you're the smartest person you know, you're going to fail. It's going to happen. You're going to falter, and you're not going to know where to go or how to overcome the obstacles that come in your way. One of my favorite themes in Proverbs is this theme. It's Proverbs 11:14. It says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. And there's so many in Proverbs with that same concept. Lack of guidance, you're going to fail. You don't ask anybody, it's just not, you're not going to do well. But if you ask, if you get advice, if like this is something I had to figure out and I'm continually growing in. This simple phrase, just what do you think about dot, dot, dot? I say it all the time. What are your thoughts? And here's the thing that I want everybody to understand. You don't ask after you already made the decision and did everything you were planning on doing in the first place and then go and be like, well, I asked, I got advice about it. No, you didn't. You didn't ask anybody. You knew this was in the scripture somewhere. So you decided, I'm going to go do what I want to do. Then I'm going to tell people what I did and then say, this was advice. Advice is guidance. It's direction. It's advice. Everything, every piece of advice is not necessarily something you just got to take it. People don't tell you what to do, but when you submit to God and you decide to be humble enough to say, you know what? I don't really know particularly how this is supposed to go, so let me ask. And then you synthesize all the information that comes in, and you make a decision based on all the factors. That's why it says, with many advisors, victory is sure. That proverb is my favorite because when I first became a Christian, I was worldly. Worldly. All right, y'all need to. I know y'all know I was worldly. I get it. But I became a Christian at the height of my popularity in college. At the height. I walked through campus, and every 2 seconds, hey, Jazz, hey, Jazz, hey, Jazz, hey, Jazz. People stopped walking with me to class because they were like, you're not going to make it to class on time. It's whatever. And so when I became a disciple, I had to learn that me making my own decisions was how I got in all the mess I got in the first place. And realizing, like, those were terrible decisions. They felt good, they sounded good, but they were terrible. But I had to make a decision. But one of the things that kept me from making that decision was this idea that nobody can relate. Nobody can understand what I'm going through because I'm the first human in the history of all humanity that's ever struggled the way I struggled. That sounds pretty ridiculous, right? Like, that sounds ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. But that's how I thought. So I was just going through my discipleship, just, I don't know how this works. I don't know how I'm supposed to make it through this. But I had access to men all around me who could help me be a godly man. There were so many areas that I was like, man, nobody can relate to me. Nobody knows what it's like to have a child on the other side of the country and to only see him twice a year. Nobody knows what it's like to be a non-traditional college student. Nobody knows what it's like to work 50 hours a week and be committed to God. Nobody knows. Nobody knows how to give up a relationship for Jesus after you've been dating that person for 2 or 3 years. Nobody knows. So I can't be helped. I know some of you guys don't know all the nuances of my story, but one thing you do know is I was messed up. And without the help of people in this room, I couldn't overcome the things I needed to overcome. I would have never became the man that was worthy of imitation. I could have never been the man that people say he has faith. I would have never become the man standing in front of you today. But I had to make a decision that though I was extremely prideful, and I still battle with it today, I had to make a decision to let people in. Like, I think about my first year as a disciple, and I think about Jared and Jesus. These guys helped me so much with dealing with having a child that's not with me. They helped me figure out how to navigate those spaces where I had to learn how to just, like, when I became a disciple, my son was 5 years old. he's not going to hold a whole lot of conversation. Now, he'll talk my ear off if I let him about basketball and memes and Instagram. But at 5, when I called, he was just like, "Hi, Daddy. Good." That was it. That was the whole conversation. I'd be talking, asking questions. Good. What am I supposed to do with that? But Jared and Jesus helped me to understand that I had to plant those seeds and continue to stay in contact with my son and love my son. Now, we have a great relationship. Where would that relationship have been without those guys? I think about Mr. Joe, Coach Joe. Used to meet downtown on Spring Street, and every Wednesday before midweek, I'd be like, "Mr. Joe, can we get together?" And Mr. Joe faithfully was in there at that Arby's. And I'll never forget, he said, so what kind of grade would you give yourself? Give yourself as a dad. What kind of father grade would you give yourself? And I remember saying, "You know, Mr. Joe, I have to give myself like a C-. Okay. C-. You might be a little hard on yourself, but okay. But I think about where would I be without the sacrifice and love of Mr. Joe? That's what I'm talking about. It goes two ways. If he was unwilling to make the time to get with me, I don't know what I wouldn't know. Because most times we don't even know what we don't know. We don't know what we need to ask about. But him sacrificing that time was a result of me initiating. That was a result of me recognizing, like, I don't know what we about to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to ask him, but I'm going to get help. What kind of minister would I be if it wasn't for Angel and Mike? Like, there are times when they lay me out. There are times when they're just so loving, and I'm hard on myself, and I'm like, man, that didn't go at all how I thought it was going to go. I thought Angel would go in on me, and he was like, "Yeah, I understand." I'm like, "What? What is this? Don't you have like 12 scriptures for me or something?" He's like, "Yeah, makes sense." But then I learned I needed that. I needed the encouragement more than I needed to get slapped at that moment. I mean, there are times I need to be slapped. But if it wasn't for those decisions and recognizing that Satan was trying to say, "You know what? You're by yourself. Nobody understands. Nobody can help you. Nobody gets it. Nobody has ever gone through that." If it wasn't for me breaking through that, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so many of you have your own stories in your relationship with God where you realize that if it wasn't for you taking the steps to learn, you wouldn't be where you are today. You wouldn't be the man you are today. You wouldn't be the husband you are today. You wouldn't be the wife. You wouldn't be the woman you are today if it wasn't for that. And so don't let Satan trick you. Don't let Satan pull you out into isolation, because the reality is that in isolation, that's where you get taken out. There is no sin, no fault, no shortcoming, no story, no background that God cannot develop. There's nothing that God cannot do. And you have the resources right here. Because if the person you trust doesn't know how to deal with the situation, they can at least know so they can point you to the person or the people that know how to deal with it. Angel couldn't tell me how to be a father of a child across the country. But once I trusted him enough to open up and say, "This is what I'm dealing with," he was able to say, "Man, there's plenty of guys that deal with that. There's plenty of guys that understand." Don't shorten yourself of the opportunities you have to grow. Because we all have blind spots. We all have ways to grow. But God's work makes it clear that the plan works. And he's here because Jesus is with us even to the end. Let's pray for communion. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the ways that you move in our lives and the ways that you give us opportunities and the blueprint to overcome. God, you didn't leave us out here and hang us out to dry, but instead you gave us someone we could follow even to death. You gave us the outline for life, and you desire us to put it to use so that we can have the amazing plans you have for us. God, help us to relinquish those plans that we have for ourselves for a much greater plan. God, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made by sending your son to die on the cross, to give up everything, and to become less than what we have so that he could be greater than. God, as we take communion, I pray that we recognize this and glorify you, honor you, and submit to you out of gratitude. We love you and praise things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.